Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now we're going to go to our buddy Eric Name of The Athletic, who covers the Milwaukee Bucks. Eric, what do you think of this thing?
You know, nothing is official yet, and I think it's important to keep that in mind because after yesterday, all of us were waiting for a press release to come out about Stanley Johnson, and, well, you don't have to worry about a press release about Stanley Johnson coming out anymore if all these reports are correct because, well, it would be Nikola Mirotic coming over, and, you know, if all this goes through, you're going to see, you know, a really nice move here by the Bucks in, you know, not really giving up a whole lot. You give up Jason Smith, who you had gotten in that trade from earlier this year, and you're going to give up Stanley Johnson, who you had just sort of acquired but not officially acquired, and then you're going to throw in some second-round picks, and all those second-round picks were kind of just, I don't want to say created out of thin air, but they were all moves that John Horst had kind of made on the periphery and found ways to get those second-round picks, and now you're going to swap that out for Mirotic, who, you know, has career highs in points and rebounds this year, 16 points, 8 rebounds per game. He's making almost 3 threes per game. He's shooting 6 of them per game. So if you're thinking about what you want to do in Milwaukee, we've talked about Mike Budenholzer and his let-it-fly approach. It's tough to find a guy that fits in a whole lot better than Nikola Mirotic. And, you know, as you've thought about Thon Maker and what you're hoping he's going to be, Mirotic kind of is that. He's that guy, and he's found a way to, you know, really make an impact at the NBA level as a guy that spreads the floor as a big man and hits a ton of those shots. So it would be a really big move for this Bucks team. And going into this trade deadline, I didn't think they quite had the assets to be a part of an arms race if it unfolded in that way. It has, and John Horst found a way to be a part of it.
So, I mean, everybody that I've talked to likes the trade. Everybody thinks that the Bucks basically stole Mirotic. You know, and then they still have an extra space available on the roster. What do you think they do with it?
Yeah, that's going to be where it gets really interesting because with Mirotic, he gets traded to the Bucks, so he doesn't really have the agency to pick and choose where he wants to go. Bucks guys have that agency. They can try to decide, you know, what they feel and where they might fit in. And that's where it gets interesting because the Bucks are obviously a very deep team. They're the best team in the league at the moment. And that makes it more difficult for buyout guys who are being bought out and then, you know, playing for that next contract to say, oh, I'm going to go to Milwaukee where, you know, maybe there's not as much opportunity. While some of these other teams that are making a playoff push really need the help, don't have the depth in, you can fit right in as a bio guy and maybe get 20 minutes a night. So I think that's where it gets interesting. But the guy I've circled for about a month now has been Wayne Ellington. He was with the Miami Heat, got traded yesterday. Sounds like he's going to get bought out. I think he's really interesting as another guy that shoots threes, a guy that can get hot, can kind of swing a game. But with Mirotic now, maybe you don't need that as much. And with Gasol getting traded to Toronto, you know, maybe there's someone else to look out for, and it's someone that I really haven't brought up much because I didn't think that this would happen. But, you know, maybe Brook Lopez's brother Robin gets bought out in Chicago, and you have another big guy that, you know, can bang around with Gasol. He can do the same thing with Joel Embiid. Maybe that's another direction to go in and maybe another person to think about. So that to me, those are kind of the ones that make a lot of sense. Ellington, Lopez, I think they might have more clear roles. Wesley Matthews is someone that gets talked about in the buyout market, but I can't imagine him signing up to play Milwaukee with as much depth as they have on the wing.
I know Bucks fans really excited for this, and I had mentioned this to Sparky. I'll ask you, after talking to Pat Connaughton the other night, there is so much emphasis on how the guys feel with one another. I have not heard anything really that's going to tell me that Mirotić is going to come in and screw up any chemistry that this team has. Do you believe that everything's copacetic in that world?
Yeah, I mean, I think losing Thon might be a hit there because there's not anyone more beloved in that locker, or there wasn't anyone more beloved in that locker room than Thon Maker. He was the team DJ. He's always excited. He's always having a good time. So I think you always kind of worry about those things whenever that's happening. But man, I've seen some bad locker rooms turn real good as soon as you start winning a bunch of games. And winning tends to fix a lot of things, and winning tends to make everyone like each other a whole lot more. And the Bucks are doing a whole lot of winning right now. So for me, I struggle to think of a situation where all of a sudden this is going to turn the opposite way, or, you know, all of a sudden this locker room is not going to be a good one. And I think Mike Budenholzer's system plays into this as well, because he doesn't really ask for much. He asks for you to give effort defensively. And then offensively, he's going to ask you to do what I think every player would love to do, and that's jack up a bunch of threes and try to get dunks. Like, those seem like enjoyable things for NBA players, so I think it's pretty hard for a locker room to turn all that much when you're playing that style of basketball and you're winning a bunch of games.
I wanted to ask you about the rest of the East, because you've got Tobias Harris going to Philadelphia, Gasol going to Toronto. So I know it's an arms race to the top. The Celtics are still a very good basketball team. Who has the edge?
Man, the interesting thing is I think the Celtics might be sitting out this deadline because their concern is making a play for Anthony Davis at the during the offseason. That's their play. Is they've been trying to plan all this out for years to get Anthony Davis, and now, well, the rest of the East is kind of passing them by and kind of finding a way to get out there. So, you know, I thought for about 24 hours that the Bucks were going to struggle to match anything else in the East from any of these teams. And with this Mirotić deal, they're the best team in the East. They add a significant piece, and they're able to, I think, in many ways, keep up with the Joneses. So I think the Bucks are still there at the top, but the Raptors and Sixers have both made it more interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch the buyout market. If the Sixers can have like two guys on the buyout market, then this becomes a lot more interesting. But, you know, until further notice, I think the Bucks are still there at the top.
In comparison to what the West has going on, is the team that would compare the best of them strictly Golden State, or do you have another one, Oklahoma City? Do you have somebody else that you could say, you know what, in a seven-game series, this team has the favor over the Milwaukee Bucks?
Man, I like Oklahoma City a lot. I'm a big fan of the moves that they've made in the offseason, and Paul George is having an MVP season. So that's a team that I tend to think about. But other than that, in the West, that Denver team is really good, but the Bucks match up with them really well. And they've already beat them in Denver. So for me, when you're looking at the Western Conference, I think the Warriors are always going to be the team that you say is the best team in the league or better than the Bucks. And then, you know, maybe the Thunder, because they are so athletic and they give the Bucks matchup problems, but that's about it in the Western Conference.
Looking also ahead for the Milwaukee Bucks and the remainder of the schedule, we were talking the other day about, will this team lose back-to-back games at all this season? I can't, unless it's the back-to-back with Indianapolis and then obviously the Celtics, I can't see it happening now. Can you?
It's going to be pretty tough. There's really not a lot of spots there where you can find games. I mean, maybe if the Lakers make a move and you have Lakers back-to-back into a game at Utah Friday, Saturday, back-to-back there, maybe that could be it. But, man, I just don't know if I see it. This team plays so well after losses that, you know, you really have to find a way to stack the deck against them. And to me, that's one of those spots. But, you know, some of the other back-to-backs they have are pretty easy as the season gets wrapped up. And I just don't know if there's too much more there where they could actually lose back-to-back games. This team just wins.
Also, one more thing before I let you go, and that is with the way things are shaping up. We talked the other night with Pat Connaughton about the MVP. And when you look at a guy like Harden and the points that he's putting up and the way he's kind of carried his team and the percentages that he's putting up as well, yeah, he's getting a lot of shots. Yeah, he's making a lot of shots. His team has not won a lot of ball games either. They've been kind of up and down. That being said, do you look at him more as an MVP because you lost CP3 and you say that team's depleted, or you look at Giannis and say he's making everybody around him better?
Man, this is a tough part. Funny enough, when I was in Oklahoma City, I was talking to Matt Moore from the Action Network, and he's obsessive over the MVP and trying to get the kind of input from as many people as he can nationally. And, you know, he said everyone kind of thinks, you know, this is Giannis's to lose. But then he asked me a question, and unfortunately, I kind of had to answer in a way that made me think maybe Giannis won't get it. Because he asked, you know, is there going to be a month where Giannis just goes crazy and he puts up all these 40-point nights, and, you know, he just has that month that's similar to Harden's month? And I told him, no, the Bucks are too good. Giannis doesn't play enough. Like, even last night, he puts up 43. He played 31 minutes. Like, he doesn't need to exert himself in that way. He doesn't need to take over in that way because this team is so deep. This team is so well coached. So I think that's part of that may end up being a problem. It shouldn't. It should matter that the Bucks were the best team wire to wire in this season. And again, I can only speak to what's happened thus far. I don't know if that'll be the case at the end of the season. But, you know, if this Bucks team goes wire to wire, starts off the season 7-0, and then is the best season in point differential for the entirety of the season, and their best player is putting up insane video game numbers, then he should win the MVP. But the tough part will be, will that be enough? Will that stick out? Will that consistency? Because that's what it is. You know, MVPs are won through narratives, and there's a good season-long narrative for the Bucks to go from a 44-win team to winning 60 this year and doing it behind a transcendent season from Giannis Antetokounmpo. But at the same time, there isn't going to be that moment, that MVP moment, that MVP week, that MVP month. It's just going to be season-long. So that might be the only spot where he gets hurt.
Great stuff, man. We appreciate it, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Sounds good.
There you go. Appreciate it. Eric Name of The Athletic joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. Been doing it a long, long time, 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.